Don't let someone steal your great idea. Register a domain name now and put your idea online. GoDaddy is offering one new or transfer.com for the low price of $2.95, whether you're building your dream business or starting a website for fun. Visit GoDaddy.com and enter WWC295 at checkout. It's go time. Some limitations apply. See website for details. Again, the code is WWC295. Get it? Because it's like watch what crappens, 295, because it's $2.95 for whatever you're going to buy. Well, it has to be a new .com or
transfer. Oh, I just got that. I'm glad you explained
that
it.
So original. Why don't you just start a website about how original that deal is? So everyone, GoDaddy.com, WWC295, and you get a new or transfer.com for the low price of $2.95. Watch what crap is. Watch what crap is. Who cares what happens when there's so much crap is.
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all the crap we love to talk about on Bravo. I'm Ronnie Karam from TrashTalkTV.com, and I'm joined by the lovely and talented and gorgeous and worked out and wife beater wearing Ben Mandelker of B-Side Blog. Hello, Ben.
Well, you're 1 for 5 on all those descriptors. I am wearing a tank top, but I think all those other ones I sadly fall very short of.
You're not lovely. You're not talented. You're not worked out.
No.
I just saw you this weekend.
Just a hack.
I just saw you in real life, IRL, this weekend. And you looked great and worked out.
Well, thank you, Ronnie. It was so great seeing you. Ronnie and I got very drunk together on Friday night at a power hour at my place. And one moment you were there and one moment you were gone. I know you said goodbye to me, but it's all a little bit of a blur.
I was actually super sad to leave because Ben has the most eclectic group of nerds. And I really love that, I love that everyone is so awkward. And I even said this to everybody. I was like, it's so funny watching you guys because you're the most awkward people in the world right now. And in about 30 minutes, we're all going to be best friends. And they were like, And sure enough, 30 minutes later, we're like, yeah, bruh.
Yeah, well, that's the magic of doing a power hour. For those of you who don't know a power hour, it's something that you do in college, but actually people should do as adults because you do a shot of beer once a minute for an hour. And it sounds very fratty or whatever, but it's like the most amazing icebreaker of all time. And it's always fun. And this one started off sort of on a slow note because I wasn't playing any music, so it was like quiet in my apartment and everyone's just sort of sitting around. But by the end, man, it was rollicking good times.
You guys, there is a reason why Jesus was so peaceful, and his name was wine. Okay?
It's true. Wine. It's true. As long as you don't drink and drive, it's all good.
Jesus was like, I love everybody because I'm shit-faced. Peace on earth. Goodwill towards men, y'all.
Well, Jesus can do a power hour, and he can do one with Maya Angelou now. They can just like sit around and say
horrible.
Like, quotable things. That wasn't a mean thing. I meant that was actually supposed to be nice.
Maya Angelou was a poet of our times.
Of course. She's like one of the only ones left.
And now she's dead. Bye, bitch. Just kidding, Maya Angelou. You know what? I still feel resentment towards Maya Angelou because, A, she's nicer than I could have ever been, and, B, she understood poems that didn't rhyme. And I'm sorry, I just don't get it, okay? Rhyme, people. They're poems for a reason because they rhyme.
Ronnie can only process things in limerick form. I respect Maya Angelou because wasn't she in How to Make an American Quilt? Actually, what I even respect her more for is that she wrote cookbooks, which I think is kind of cool. And before all of her recipes, because I've leafed through them in various bookstores, she has these very poetic, you know, stories, these lyrical, you know, tales of yore. And it's always like, and that was the last time I ever saw Mr. Tannery. And in his honor, here is meatloaf. Well, they're all like that, which is actually kind of awesome.
The other reason I really resent Maya Angelou is she was supposed to be our guest today on the show.
Yes.
She up and choked on a chicken bone. So bye, bitch. Thanks a lot.
This is going to be our big break.
We were finally going to get accepted by Oprah, you guys.
She was like, the magic of the hoedown. is that the onion ring is what brings us together.
Okay,
in a ring
so
of life.
So let's talk about some Bravo shit. But first, you can find Ben on the internet everywhere at bsideblog.com and all the social networks at bsideblog.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find me, Ronnie Karam, on Twitter at Ronnie Karam or Trash Tweet TV, which is Trash Talk TV's recap feed. Or you can find me on Instagram at Trash Talk TV Recaps or at Ronnie Karam or on Tumblr at Trash Talk TV Recaps. Trash Talk TV was taken by so many things that every social network has a different name. Sorry.
Well, and last but not least, go to facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens. We have about, 2,400, maybe 2,460 likes. In fact, let me read some of the new people who liked the page because I want to give some love back to these people who took time out of their day to just like click like on Facebook. It's really a quick process. But come to the Facebook page because we do have like a lot of fun on it. The newer people who have liked it have been Haley Patrick Kochek, Shana Davis, Lindsay Harris, Greg Morrison, Marcy LaFontaine, Audra Brent Cummings, and I'll just stop at Trisha Putnam. But thank you guys for liking it. And for all the people who've been liking it since the beginning, we appreciate you too.
Yeah, it's so fun to read this page. And while we're being nice to people, let's also be mean to people.
Yeah.
Because there's this thing on the Facebook page that says, 95 of your friends like Watch What Crappens. So thanks those 95 friends. But then it lists all the friends that don't like it. So I'd like to say a big fuck you to Stephanie Fitzharris, Brian Gainey, Zabeth Russell, Jesse Birchback, Alex Karam, my own cousin, Kevin Fink, a writer from Trash Talk TV, Dave Ball from Survivor, screw you, Dave, Jessica Young, Blake Hogue, Dave Bowman, Judith Shelton, Roger Glenn, Sonia Powell, Joseph Grover, Tam Vo, and Trisha Tracy, and Michael Bellavia.
Trisha, wait, stop right there. Trisha is not a fan of this.
Trisha does not even like this show. So screw all you guys, and you know what? Also the other 700 friends or whatever that aren't signed up to this. Screw you guys.
You only have 700 friends, Ronnie?
I don't know. I don't count them, Ben, okay? I don't count them. I don't like rhymes, and I don't like numbers.
For all of you who do still like this podcast, I guess we should get to Bravo, though, since we've...
I know, yeah. I don't know. I was just in such a good mood to talk to somebody today. You're the first person I've spoken to. Even today at Starbucks, no one had time for me. So I'm sorry. I just needed to get some Maya Angelou talk out there.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad you got it out.
Yeah, me too. I hope we can, like, put her ashes in the East River.
I know why the caged Ronnie sings.
Well, it's because he's asking for somebody to come rhyme things.
With him. I'm sorry, everyone. Just bear with me for, like, 30 seconds here. I was just making lunch, and in my mind, I actually made a rhyme. And it was the stupidest rhyme I've ever made up, and I can't believe I'm even sharing it with you, but since we're talking about rhyming... I was pulling out a bunch of limp celery out of my fridge, and for some reason, I said to myself, I like limp celery like I like Linda Ellerbee.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that is a terrible rhyme. That is a terrible rhyme.
Terrible.
That's why Maya Angelou doesn't rhyme. She tried to rhyme celery with something one time. It fell on her face, and she was like, screw rhyming.
There's part of me that wants to pat myself on the back for bringing Linda Ellerbee back, and I actually just unintentionally poorly rhymed right there. But
want to bring Linda Carter back. I'm all for that.
I would like Linda Carter and Linda Ellerbee to be in the next iteration of The Real Housewives.
Linda Carter is a farter. Okay, there, we're even. Now let's go.
And by the way, if you hear a lot of background noise, I'm just trying to recreate the sounds of the Berkshires here.
And those sounds are noodles being thrown at Ramona's mother's head by her abusive father.
Okay. All right. So what do you want to start with, Ronnie?
Okay. I heard a bird outside. Okay. It reminded me of my father.
Flying.
Okay. So I usually like to go in order of how these things appeared on my television set. So that would take Married to Medicine first.
Okay.
But I don't really care. I only wrote like a few things.
Why don't we do Married to Medicine? You know, we've started with it the past few weeks, and we've had it sort of like gets us in a real goofy state of mind, as if my celery Ellerbee rhyming did not do it already.
And also, it goes with our theme of bad rhymes and terrible English and nonsensical things. Sorry, Maya Angelou.
Yeah.
But you were a true artist, especially compared to these hosts. I mean, Jesus.
Well, I mean. Jewel and her book of poetry is a real artist compared to these hoes.
What I should have did was I should have written a poem and been like, Eugene is my husband, and I like rubber bands.
Well, she literally said this week, I have came. She said that.
I have came here because I want to talk.
It was like, there's a great Toya-ism.
When she said that, I cheered at my house.
I know, me too. I actually paused and wrote on our Facebook page. And the noise you hear back outside, it was the sound of my brain getting sawed in two.
What is that really? Is someone doing... someone's calling me via Google Hangouts.
I think it's Sonia's vibrator turning on.
Seriously, it's going up. I can't even hear. Oh, it's my friend Jesse Birchbach, who I just said fuck you to for not liking our thing. It's like she heard us. How is she calling me through the Google Hangouts while we're in a podcast? The computer is confusing me! I feel like Sonia.
What she should do is text you on the cell phone.
Yeah, this is too much. And now my little... Oh, my God. This is a mess. Let's just start over.
Okay.
Just kidding. No, let's not. Okay, so Married to Medicine. It started with some of the most incoherent yelling of all time, because we ended up at the party. We started with the party we ended at last week, which was Mariah and Quad going at each other. For some reason, nobody knows, because it was all filmed in STK, steak with no vowels.
Yeah.
And we didn't get to see it because there were no cameras there, which makes us all think it's bullshit. But...
This was the continuation of their fight from last week when at Rico Chappelle's fashion show or whatever, it was a fundraiser, and Rico went off on Mariah, and then Mariah went out to the valet, and then Quad followed, and they got into more fight. The spat continued.
Yeah, and it was just a stupid fight, and I don't understand what they were saying, and especially Quad. Like, seriously, I guess I'm going to say this every week until the show ends, but learn to talk.
And she's like... You are not only the valet, you are getting a claim ticket, and I am not refunding it for my friendship.
You are a umbrella with holes in it, and my hair's wet. Okay.
Listen, honey, you are sitting out standing on the curb, and I am the great under the curb, and all the water goes right through me, and so does the shade.
I object, sustain, recess, and reorder a courtroom.
I am the brass doorknob that you turn and the door opens, and honey, I am closing that door on your face.
Ding dong, the door is closed.
I am a Brita filter. All that shade comes through me, and I filter out all the Mariah.
Yeah.
I am an IKEA. You have to use directions to put me together, honey. You don't know me unless you can follow the directions, Mariah.
Good luck with that little L key, Mariah. So that was super fun. And also Lucy was involved in this one. And Lucy is a crazy bitch. And she'll go, Mama Lucy now. And she'll go after anybody. But even she is standing down a little bit with Quad. All she's saying is, don't you do that, Quad. That ain't cool, Quad. Quad, I don't like that, Quad. Like, she knows she'll get her wig flipped off by Miss Quad. She's not going to fuck with her.
I know. She didn't want to get into a fight because she took probably like 3 hours to get that hefty bag onto her head that's also known as her wig.
I'd roll my head at you if my neck had the strength to do it, Quad.
The demons.
Oh, that demon's coming out of you. Okay, so then we got to one of my... this is an actual thing. I didn't write many notes this week, but one thing I did write down was Quad. I want the truth, and I will accept nothing more!
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay. All right. Would you accept something less? Would you take something less than the truth? I noticed that, too. I was like, well, I guess maybe she... Okay.
English by Married to Medicine.
Idioms by Married to Medicine.
So one
idioms
of my... by idiots. One of my favorite things this week was Heavenly going to Mariah's house.
Yeah.
This shit was priceless. Miss Lucy is sitting there in her gigantic wig. And Heavenly comes over in her cream cheese-covered throat, and she's like,
now listen here, I praise Jesus, first of all. Jesus came into my heart this morning and made me want to tell you, I don't think you're being truthful.
And Mariah's like, now, I didn't say I made her. I said I put her together and allowed her to live.
Yeah, she's like, I didn't say I made her. I just said I gave her a platform to be famous. I'm not saying I made her famous. I just gave her the platform to
and
be famous.
And I did. And then Miss Lucy is not afraid of Heavenly. And every time Heavenly says, praise Jesus, or thank the Lord, or we are blessed to even be having this argument, Miss Lucy's there to be like, I'll slap the Jesus right out of your fat ass, bitch. It's like, God, Lucy. Whoa, come back, Lucy. Come back, Lucy.
Straight out of Detroit. Yeah. Well, the thing is that with Heavenly, I always go back and forth because over the span of any episode, she'll say something where I'm like, you know, she's right, and I back that up, and I like that. And then she does something totally crazy later, and I'm like, oh, well, no, she's crazy. I can't get behind her. And when she was at Mariah's, she actually seemed like it was sensible Heavenly at that time, you know, because she was right, because she called Mariah out, at least to us, and was like, it doesn't matter if you say that you made her or you gave her the platform to be famous. It's all the same thing, which is that you did something for her, and then you're rubbing her face in it. I was like, oh, my goodness. That's like, you know, that's like a reasonable thing to, like Heavenly's got it, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, she's going up against Mariah, who, I mean, these people don't even know what the hell they're even fighting about. So, of course, she looks sensible there, but Heavenly's just a C word. She's horrible. She's a horrible human being. And I love that she's always like, praise Jesus, praise the Lord, obey your husband. And the first thing the husband's like, well, I'd like you to stay home. And she's like, no. You're not obeying your husband. That is not submitting.
Yeah. Well, of course, then later on in the episode, Heavenly had this dinner party, and then she proceeds to call out everyone at the table for everything that they're doing wrong. She's like, nah, She's like, I can't even do the Heavenly voice. She's like, I have a real estate license, and I know a little bit about this and that, and I know this house is more than $1.3 million, and I know some of you can't close your houses. I was like, what is going on?
Well, the whole thing about that, she's like, you want to come over to my house? Because we're going to talk about marriages and relationships, and because she's a relationship expert.
Yeah,
so all these ladies come over, and she starts tearing down all of their relationships, and she's like, some of us can't submit to our husbands, and some of us won't get blowjobs, and some of us keep spending all our husbands' money. I was like, damn. Some of us are married to people with pointy hands.
Some of us say things that make no sense, but they just use objects around them. Quad.
So below the belt. But yeah, Mariah's thing. I know it doesn't take this long to close a house. And Mariah's like, really? I can't do Mariah at all.
But no, really? Mariah wasn't there.
I mean, not Mariah. Toya.
Toya was like, she's like, what you should have done was have came to this conversation in private. Because, like, I don't like to talk about this stuff when Eugene is nearby. So what you should have done is not talk about that.
I love that stupid woman is like, well, if there we could have closed it. The thing is, the problem with closing it is my husband has too much money and they don't know what to do.
See, like the bank, what the bank should have did was like close on the house. But like the bank, like we were like, well, Eugene's got like, he's like, you know, he's like a doctor, but he's also like, you know, not a doctor. And like, you know, we watch TV, so sometimes the bank's like, no TV. So I'm like, well, okay.
Yeah, she cannot get a loan, basically.
Yeah.
The bank is probably like, well, we've looked over your Wells Fargo account, and we see $9,000 for a book about Chanel. Is this true? We will not give you a loan. Stupid.
They're like, we've been reviewing your background, and we just aren't sure that an urgent care doctor can afford a $40 million mansion.
We were looking over your wife's application, and she's misspelled her name, which leads us to believe that she might not be very reliable as far as payments.
We have a concern that your wife, Toya, has a $300,000 debt to Ashley Furniture, and we'd like to see that resolved first.
Rent-A-Room has called, and there was a couch from 1987 still not returned by your wife. Thank you.
Marshalls has called, and apparently your wife still has a colander on layaway.
TJ Maxx has called, and it has asked for last season to be returned. Thank you. What I should have done.
What I should have done was go to Dress Barn instead. And I should have been like, I'll buy this dress barn and we would have moved in there because I always want to live in a barn. Like a fancy barn.
Oh.
But I should have did.
So that party went a little bit crazy because Heavenly just went right over everyone. Now, to these women, to the credit of these women, as I make fun of their English.
And you use the term women, like, you know, loosely.
Loosely, yes. These people with holes where their penises should be.
Yes.
To their credit, they know how to deal with Heavenly now, and they just kind of laugh her off, which is hilarious. I mean,
yeah.
The fact that they were all able to laugh and tell her off kind of at the same time, I think was really fun to watch, especially the doctors. They're too smart for that shit now, and they're not going to get pissed off at her.
Yeah, exactly. They know what the deal is. They're like, oh, it's a TV show. We'll just get through it.
Yeah. She's like, I will not be taking that class, Dr. Jackie. So Dr. Jackie also had a baby this week, a little fake baby that she's already left in the car.
Oh, my God. That was so stupid. So fake. That entire thing was fake.
And she's supposed to learn that she can't have a baby now because she left it in the car. And I say she shouldn't have a baby now because she left her periods 10 years ago. So,
well, I think that, well, she said it was more because of the chemo that she got for her breast cancer. But that was real nice of you, Ronnie.
Well, while we're talking about horrible cancer jokes, when her friend comes in and is like, she's pretending to breastfeed the baby. And she's like, baby, don't feed off implants. Like, that's really nice. No, she's talking about giving childbirth, isn't she? She's talking about having childbirth, isn't she? Like, going through it.
She's trying to do...
She's not adopting. She's going to actually have a baby, which means that she's still saying that she has her period. Do not accuse me of anti-cancer remarks until I actually make one, because I've got plenty.
Well, maybe she froze her eggs. I don't know. The whole thing seems fake, and she's an obstetrician, and she should know better than to, like, submit us to this ridiculousness.
Well, she's got to do something. Her husband's like, please don't make me go on that show.
She's like, she's like, let's have another lemon squeeze.
What I should have did was done a grapefruit squeeze because it was bigger.
Now, part of me is just really sad for myself because I have had the internet as part of my life for so long that I don't even know how to write anymore.
Yeah.
With a pen, and I try and take notes with a pen, and I don't know what any of this says. Malicious. Oh, that's a quad word. Malicious. That was malicious. And then I wrote another quad word that looks like imbudizable, indubitable.
She's like, I will ask you to give me some time.
Okay, so what else with Married to Meds? Do you have anything?
I don't really remember it. Let's see. Simone doesn't give blowjobs, which is pretty rough, I imagine, for her husband. And Lisa Nicole just sort of, like, sat around. And I think that was it.
Yeah, Lisa Nicole's just like, thank you so much for having me over to dinner and talking about blowjobs, which are very important to the entire community of women, whether they have had cancer or not, like I did, or I thought I did, a couple weeks ago, which was extremely difficult for me thinking that.
Are you a downtown girl? And by downtown, I mean, do you like to give oral sex? That's just a slang word that I use to make myself seem a little loose.
Because downtown, things are smellier, and your throat always hurts, so that's why I call it downtown.
And uptown caters to a different crowd? That's all I have to say about that.
Uptown is where I would have gone for my cancer treatments had I had cancer, when I thought that I had cancer. But I didn't. But I still enjoy going uptown. But I can also spend more time downtown, as long as it doesn't give me cancer, because that would be awful and hurt my entire family.
And Midtown is a place that's sort of like a little cancery, a little blowjobbery, and it's all things all at once.
Sometimes I go over the Brooklyn Bridge to spend time in Brooklyn so I could remember a time before I thought I had cancer. Things were so peaceful then.
And then I think of all the traffic on the bridge to Brooklyn, and I think of all the carcinogens and all the cancer I might have gotten.
And then I get stressed out, and stress leads to cancer. I might have cancer. I'm going to take a moment and cry.
Well, what you should have did was not get cancer, but like not and go downtown and with the subway. Mm-hmm. With a Kazar.
I think that a husband can take not getting a blowjob, but a husband cannot take having all of his friends giving him shit for not getting blowjobs because they saw his wife talk about it on TV.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a huge problem, and that's going to come back and bite her in the ass.
Later. Well, who knows? Maybe she takes it in the ass. So he's like, yeah, well, I don't get blowjobs, but I give it to her anal.
Yeah, he's like, I can get my fist in all the way up to my elbow. Like, you never know. Like, maybe she's, like, really kinky, or maybe she's like, I don't like giving blowjobs, but I love when he pisses on me. That's great.
Yeah. She's like, ooh, I hate the smell of what she's like, I hate the smell of when downtown comes uptown, but I love it when he takes a shit on my stomach.
Do people do that? Is that a thing?
Yeah, people do that all the time. It's called scat play. It's called scat play.
What is that? That is crazy.
Have you never
like, baby, sit there while I shit on your stomach.
So that's much better than my downtown in my face.
No, that is disgusting.
Well, you've heard of like a Dirty Sanchez, right?
Yes, but I'm not sure what that is. I don't know.
Dirty
know
Sanchez. Okay. If you have small children, you're already screwed up because they shouldn't be listening. So this is for little Tommy, who's 3 years old. This is what a Dirty Sanchez is. I think it's like when you either take a shit or you stick your finger up your asshole, whatever,
God.
And then you make a poop mustache on the girl.
Oh, drop God. Your finger. That's what it is? I didn't know what that was.
See, what you should just was made of poop gold tea because that's like below, farther away from the nostrils.
Oh, God. Yeah, I'm like Simone. Like, I mean, look, I enjoy blowjobs. I'm not that prude. But when it comes to stuff like that, yeah, I'm really prude. I mean, I just want the regular version. I don't need pooping on stomachs or like peeing or Dirty Sanchez. I mean, who does that? That's disgusting. That makes me never want to have sex with anybody
I'll
ever
say
again.
Who does it? I think Screech did it from Saved by the Bell in his sex tape. Ruining everything for you.
Yeah, my penis is officially out of order. Thanks.
Sorry. Seriously. Oh, by the way, I have to pause and say, Katie invited me to this party last week that I wasn't able to go to, and I'm so bummed. Because Tom and Ariana were there, and then Kristen and Stassi were there, too, at a separate table. And they weren't told that they were all going to be there. And they were filming for Vanderpump Rules. And I'm so mad that I missed it.
Oh, really? Well, I'm really thrilled that I wasn't invited to go. So I'm going to have to send Katie a little text right now.
Yeah, send her a text.
What a fetch.
Batch, yeah. But I don't know. That's actually not a significant story at all because I didn't even. That was like the. That's like the fake cancer.
Yeah, that was just the. Let's see if we can really piss Ronnie off even more than he's already pissed.
I'm like, hey guys, I almost went to a party where people were there, but I didn't. So yeah.
Doing the podcast now, and Ben is telling me how you invited him to a party.
When you're typing, by the way, it sounds like.
So thanks. That
sounds like there's like an Indian tribe coming towards you, Native American tribe.
Betch. I'm gonna write betch again. Betch!
So, what else happened on Married to Medicine, or should we move on to
Married to Medicine? I learned a lot about people getting penises in every hole that they've got, which is something that has been kind of on every show recently, like a lot of sex talk with these women. And look. Fine, you know, everyone has sex. I get it. That's great, but really gross. Like, I always think that that's women trying to prove that they're not going through menopause when they start talking about sex all the time.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, I like it on my ear. And it's like, yeah, because your vagina is like a prune pit. Okay? Stop talking about it in public. No one cares.
Hey, at least we're not watching them get their vajayjays waxed.
Yeah, that's true.
Like on every other show.
Yet. Because that happens every season, so give them time. Ah!
Yeah, and apparently, like a baby robot is now the new thing too.
A baby
or a robot baby, I should say.
Oh yeah, those babies that look real,
and they make noise.
Yeah, they're gross. I saw some woman at Starbucks today. I've mentioned Starbucks twice. You're welcome, everybody. But this couple actually, and they had a little baby. He was spilling shit, and the woman seriously looked like she was gonna put her head through the plate glass window. She looked like she was gonna break down. And I go, don't worry, they're all like that. Because I feel like she, like, the poor mothers with these little babies, they take it so personally. Like, my baby just shit itself. They all do that. It's nothing you're doing wrong. They're awful, awful little things. Okay? That's just how they are.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
They really are.
So what else do we have here? Real Housewives of Orange County.
Oh my God. Just a fabulous episode. So hilarious.
This is the episode of trying to make mountains out of molehills. Okay?
Oh my God.
Where there is nothing really going on, so everybody's fighting over stupid things. I love that we're allowed to just hate Heather now. Like, I love that everybody's just completely on board with making Heather Cruella de Vil.
Yeah, well, you know, the episode started with her recounting the tales of woe that occurred when someone deigned to ask her to move down, take a different seat. And I love how she's telling Terry, she's like, yeah, well, Shannon came out of the bathroom, and I just have never seen anything like this. She was yelling at me the entire time, like, get out of my seat! Get out! And I was, like, actually scared. And then they cut to a flashback of Shannon just, like, walking out of the bathroom, like, oh, Heather, you're in my seat. You know?
She hit me. The way that she beat me, she wouldn't stop. It was awful. I felt like Rodney King in the middle of a street, and a bunch of cops were surrounding me. I mean, it was horrible. And her children are like, wow, what a bitch.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I love how some of our readers pointed out, because I totally noticed it too, that while she was telling the story, Heather was making some sort of party favors that were like raw oatmeal, like in a bag. It's like, yeah, that sounds about right. Like a cookie? No, you're not going to get a cookie. You're just going to get like just plain old oatmeal in a bag with a bow.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
She's awful. And poor Terry, you know, every episode where Heather gets to talk. I mean, Heather has so many children that I feel like in their real life, where there's not cameras around, he doesn't really talk to her. I feel like he leaves early in the morning. He works all day. He fucks somebody at night. He comes home at like 9. He's like, hi, what's up? And she's like, well, you would not believe what happened in carpool today. I pulled in there with our driver and we had to wait in line for 3 hours. And he just falls asleep and that's it.
Yeah.
But here, he actually has to pretend he's listening to her because they're on a show about, I guess, relationships. And he looks like he wants to just kill himself. He opens his mouth and he's literally biting his tongue. Like, you see his tongue being bit.
You know, he's so jealous of Vicky being able to tell Heather to move down a seat. He's like, ugh, I wish I could tell my wife to do something. I wish anything, even if it meant scooting over a little bit. But the fact that she was so, like, so completely off base with her retelling of the story shows how crazy she is. She's truly nuts.
And she did it like 3 times this episode, which was hilarious. They just kept showing her telling lies and then showing the truth.
Yeah. The lie. Makes me wonder if she even was on Malibu Country.
No one watched it, so there's no one to argue with it.
Everything she said about Sarah Rue, I now have to rethink.
I'm texting Sarah. Just kidding. Heather, no tongue.
Well,
why did I put Heather note? Oh, because the daughter tried to tongue kiss the husband. That was unnecessary.
That was weird too. That was really weird.
Yeah, that was a bit much.
Yeah.
Breaking ground. Okay, breaking ground on your new fucking mansion. That is the tackiest party ever. Who does that? You break ground on a children's hospital. Or you break ground on, like, a new supermarket that's going to affect the community. You don't have a breaking ground party for a fucking mansion, you dumb twat. Who does that?
I agree. It didn't really offend me. I'm like, oh, well, I mean, it seems unorthodox, but it didn't really bother me. And I actually thought the hoedown theme was a good idea, and I thought it looked fun and looked good. But, you know, this is Heather, and she is so hyper-organized, and her version of fun is so not fun. It's like, oh, now is the scheduled 5 minutes where you can be spontaneous, you know? And then after that, we get back to our regular programming.
She has a hoedown, and then she wears a black funeral dress, like from Lilith Fraser's closet. She doesn't wear anything cowboy. She's like, well, this necklace is really big.
that's not a cowgirl.
Well, I forgot what I was going to say.
Yeah, because you're pouring water. You're pouring yourself some water. I hear it.
I'm actually not pouring myself water. I'm sitting. That's a drill in the background.
Oh, it is?
That's the sound of my brain being drilled in half by Heather Dubrow.
Ugh, that reminds me, speaking of your brain splitting in two for no reason, I saw MJ the other day in your neighborhood when I was driving. Wow.
Oh, really?
That was like fireworks were going off on that ass. She was wearing these spandex pants, these bright yellow spandex pants with like black triangles, which was eerily reminiscent of Fred Flintstone's pattern, except it was yellow instead of like orangish brown. And okay. She was walking her little dogs with a full face of makeup, and I just, God bless her. Sometimes it's important to do good Samaritan acts, you know, just to be a normal, happy human, and doing good things for other people makes good things in your life. And I just wanted to pull over and say, please don't wear spandex. Do it for you. You're welcome. And just keep driving. Because I need to do a good deed. I haven't done something for someone else in so long.
You're doing a good deed by watching all these shows for people.
Yeah, I guess so. I'm keeping this going.
So anyway, the first big controversy with this hoedown was that Heather wanted to have an actual ceremony of sorts where they take all these notes. People are supposed to come into the hoedown, write some well wishes on a piece of paper, put it in a jar. It's gonna get buried in the foundation like a time capsule, and then they're gonna like dig into the ground, and then a bulldozer's gonna do something. Whatever, it's gonna be a ceremony. So the party starts at noon. The ceremony is at 1:00. The ceremony, which is also not on the invitation. So anyway, Heather is furious at Shannon because it's 1:00 and Shannon hasn't shown up, and Shannon is allegedly in the same community. And so they start the ceremony, and Shannon walks up in the middle of the ceremony, and Heather's pissed off. But I say, fuck Heather. You know why? Because it's a hoedown, and it's like hoedowns are like barbecues. Like you sort of like meander in when you meander in. You don't come right at the very beginning. And second of all, if you're having this ceremony where people are cramming notes into a jar, why do the ceremony an hour into the event? Like, do it at the end after you've accumulated as many well wishes as possible.
And you know who's never on time? Cowboys. Okay? Yeah. This is not some real fucking cowboy. You're in like a $10 trillion house on top of a hill overlooking an ocean. Get over yourself, you dumb hoe. Okay, this well-wishing thing. I love that she has to specify that she's like, okay, well, we wanted to have all our friends over because we needed you guys to write well wishes from our friends and family because well wishes need
Where
to be
was
under
Sarah
the
Ruth,
well wishes
the
family. Well wishes. I know. Betty White was like, sorry, bitch. I'm never coming to another thing of yours. And I hope, I don't know if they had a scene that they cut where Heather, because you know she read every one that went into the ground. And you know like over 70% of them were like, you're a stupid twat and your face looks scary. Stop it.
Right. They're like, dear evil queen from Snow White, best of luck with your new house.
They're like, dear gerbil who got shoved up Richard Gere's ass in the 90s. I hate you and your entire fucking family. I hope your daughter and your husband tongue kiss themselves into an early grave. Die, bitch. Love, Betty White.
Dear Ice Queen of Orange County, I hope your husband gives you many dirty Sanchez's. Love, your neighbor.
Dear Terry Hatcher when she turned into the evil mother from Coraline. I hope your tight ass gets rammed by a woodchuck and then you spontaneously combust and you die. Love, Jane Campion.
Dear Magica Dispel, I hope that your house crumbles and falls into the ocean. Love, everyone.
What's the point of quitting smoking if you're going to have smoker's lungs until the day you die?
I don't know, Ronnie.
That's my question, guys. That is my question!
So anyway.
Yeah, she's horrible. And so this whole hoedown is trying to be this fight between Heather and... Heather is assuming that her friends, Vicky and Tamara, are going to be on her side, but Vicky and Tamara hate this bitch now that they're friends again and want to throw her into a fire, so they're not going to be on her side.
Well, it was a whole big high school disaster, middle school thing, because what happened was everything was like fine, and then Tamara says to Shannon, why were you so late? And then Heather happens to be walking by and be like, yeah, like, why were you so late? And Shannon's like, well, I couldn't we had, like, the kids had to, were still in practice. We couldn't get here until now. And then Heather does that annoying thing where she was like, I just wish you would have told me because we were waiting for you. And we would have started if we had known. I just wish you would have told me. That's all. And, of course, that, like, pisses off Shannon, which then she, like, turns to her husband and is like, well, thanks a lot, David. I told you we should be here leaving at 12 p.m. Thanks a lot, David.
Yeah, thanks for getting me in trouble with Heather Dubrow, David, and not even saying anything and taking the blame for it, making me do it all, never holding me, never telling me I'm pretty, never making me feel special. Thanks a lot for making me be a cunt to you so I would feel special and get some attention from you, David.
Why don't you lower the chandelier even slower, David? So...
I'm sorry I was late, but David was trying to change a bulb on the chandelier, and it took 18 hours because he's a fucking idiot who pays me no mind.
And then I told him to bring some wine for the party, and he brought back a traveler-sized wine, and I don't know what he was thinking, but I have to go to Dr. Moon now to calm down. So so then
I'm
Shannon...
I'm sorry I was
like,
3 hours late, but I had an Asian thumb up my ass. And it was $100.
I'm sorry I lost my children. It turns out they were hiding from me in their secret tea room. And David was no help whatsoever.
Yeah, Shannon, the thing about Shannon is she's surrounded by so many bitches that you just want to root for her because in her, you know, diary room sessions, she's so funny and normal. But then she's not at all. She's like the craziest one, probably out of all of them, and the most insecure. And she's such a ball buster to her husband. She's kind of the worst, but she's also so entertaining that you've got to be behind her, right?
Oh no, I love Shannon, and I love. So then she like pulls Vicky away, and she's like all rattled. They go up to a bar, and she's like, "I'm feeling very misunderstood right now because all I'm, you know, like I told my husband we have to be ready, and he's like, no, we can't be ready till 12:30, and like, what am I supposed to do? Now I've got Heather Dubrow yelling. I don't want to be the one that ruined the hoedown. I don't want to be the one."
God, Vicky's like, yeah, my husband called me a fucking bitch in public and we were swingers together and he ended up fucking the girls and leaving me out of it completely. So you want to complain about your problems? My current boyfriend suggested that my son-in-law rape my daughter-in-law just to shut her up. You want to still complain to me about your horrible life on a hill?
My daughter's moving to Oklahoma. Like, I have to go to Oklahoma now. You want to complain to me about that?
No one even goes to that musical anymore.
I don't even know why it's called why it is a musical in the first place. They should just, like, take it out of the Library of Congress and just throw it in the ocean. Throw it out!
You know, the only important part of Oklahoma is the first letter. Zero.
Okay, Ellie. That's what I think.
Oklahoma.
Yahoo.
Huh.
That's my line.
Woohoo!
We are being so stupid.
Oh, Vicky. So she goes to complain to Vicky about the most stupid marital problems in the world. And then the husband, David, is there talking to some hot blonde, having shots, completely ignoring his wife, which, I mean, who wouldn't? His wife is a fucking nagging catastrophe. So he's like trying to pretend, you know, that he's rich enough to have this young woman and taking shots. And then Vicky's like, and then she gets mad. She's like, David, just for the future, it would be... wise of you to remember that you shouldn't be taking shots with a model while your wife is standing right there and you're making her feel left out and not even offering her a shot. And he's like, well, dear, you're completely right as usual. I'm really sorry, and I'll do whatever you want forever. You're completely right. She's like, he's an awful man, an awful man.
He was right, though. I mean, he was crazy flirting with that girl. He's like, hey, you want another shot? You want another shot? You want to hang out? You want to go have sex? And Shannon's like, I'm right here.
He's like, do you like chandeliers? I've got one that moves. Slowly, baby.
And Shannon's like, David, before you show a chandelier to another woman, maybe you might want to introduce me first.
Yeah. I would cheat on her.
Yeah.
How about you?
Yeah, probably. I probably wouldn't have gotten married to her in the first place, although she is loaded. So while this is all happening, meanwhile, then Tamara and Vicky are stirring the pot because then they're like, well, you know, Shannon just feels really bad because da-da-da-da-da. And then Heather, like you said, like it becomes basically a game of telephone. And Heather is talking about how rude it is and how rude, blah, 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 blah. And then Heather goes to Terry. This is what cracks me up. Heather goes to Terry and is, keeps saying over and over again, like, it just seems rude. You know, they live in the community and they're an hour late. It's just rude. And he's like, yeah, that's rude. That's rude. Because he knows. He's like programmed like a robot to say exactly what she wants to hear. And then she takes that and goes back to the other woman and says, even Terry, who notices nothing, was like, wow, that's rude. I'm like, no, he didn't say that's rude because he thought it was rude. he said it, that's rude, because if he said, oh, I think it's okay, then you would have been yelling at him for the next week.
Yeah, he would have been paying for that for the next month. Remember when you were so awful and you took the side of those evil, rude people at my party that I even got you onion rings for, and then you had sex with somebody behind a haystack, and then you threatened to divorce me, and then you had a slave? It's like, Jesus, none of this happened. What is going on in your brain?
Remember when you took that rifle out and tried to shoot me?
God, no. Do you remember when you tried to decapitate that maid at the hoedown? It's like, what are you talking about?
When you hurled a grenade at the mechanical bull, that was just inappropriate.
So the mechanical bull part. So I was cooking some mushroom soup, which turned out not very good because apparently you should not saute mushroom. I mean, you shouldn't saute onions for mushroom soup because then it tastes like onion soup with mushrooms in it. Okay, oh. There's your tip, guys. There's my Maya Angelou tip for the week in cooking.
Yes, so the onion and the mushroom are friends in kind, but beware the onion.
I was checking the caramelization on my onion, so I missed this, but did somebody set somebody else up?
Oh my God, I can't believe you missed this. So they were all doing the mechanical bull, and, you know, it was just the typical mechanical bull thing. Heather gets on there. And she becomes convinced, first of all, that it was going faster for her, which is a lie. It was going as fast as for anyone else. Just that when you get on a mechanical bull, it goes a little faster than you might expect, even when it's going slowly. But so she immediately thinks that someone's out to get her. She thinks that Tamara has somehow caused the mechanical bull to go faster. So then Tamara gets on, and Heather says explicitly, you see her saying it, and she's like, turn it up. Make sure it goes fast. Make sure it goes fast. So Tamara's on there, and she gets flung off. And she lands awkwardly, or she gets bopped on the arm, and she thinks she's broken her arm. And then Heather's like, why was it going so fast? It shouldn't have been going that fast. Fire him. She literally says fire him about the guy, the poor dude who's running this bull. And of course, Tamara goes off and goes to see urgent care, and she's fine. She just basically has a bruise. But Heather kept on being like, I can't believe this happened. I wonder how this could happen. I can't believe he would make it go so fast. I'm like, bitch, you were the one who told him to go faster.
Oh, what a bitch. She's going to get it at the reunion.
Oh, big time.
And I wish I had seen that because I totally would have read the Bravo blogs this week because you know Tamara's like, you bitch. You bitch.
And by the way, Olivia Corden said, are these women just dumb, dumb, dumb? The only one who had good sense was Lizzie, who said to ice it, a.k.a. Tamara's arm. And by the way, if Tamara's arm was broken, she would have been screaming bloody hell. Dr. Terry should know this, right? And you're right. Like, I feel like there were multiple doctors there who could have been like, oh, you're probably okay.
If you want to know how good of a doctor Dr. Terry is, look at his wife's frightening fucking face. That man doesn't know what he's doing. Just because he does it to a lot of people and makes a lot of money doing it doesn't mean he's good at it. Heather seriously looks, I don't even know how to explain it. She looks like one of those little sock puppets that you glue marbles onto for the eyes. Like, she's crazy looking.
She looks like, what were those puppets from the 80s? Like of Ronald Reagan and like Margaret Thatcher. And they were used in the Land of Confusion video.
Oh, yeah. They had like a whole show on those, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. That's what she looks like.
Oh, God. I'm looking right now at bravotv.com. You're welcome, Bravo, for that plug to our millions of listeners.
Spitting Image. By the way, it was a British puppet thing. They're called Spitting Image.
I was in the middle of Shannon and Heather. So I thought the headline would be Tamara, Heather's a bitch. So never mind. I'm not even reading this. I don't care. But I love that Tamara is reveling in the fact that she is not the villain. She has nothing to do, really, with any fights. The only fight she had was with Heather, and it was over in 2 seconds because she didn't fight her. And she's kind of being the nice one, which is a really odd spot for her to be in.
Well, by the way, Heather's blog, here's the headline. Here's the headline for Heather's blog this week. Heather, here goes the double standard. And then here's the deck. Heather continues to wonder why everything she does is picked apart, but everything Vicky does, okay. By the way, no, everything Vicky does gets picked apart also. And this, again, just goes to show the problem with Heather is that she thinks somehow she is more the center of people's attention or center of attention than anyone else. Right now, you're only the center of attention because you're so awful, Heather.
Heather and in fact, is awful.
In her very first paragraph, third sentence, She says, when the episode begins, I am making reindeer food with Katarina in the kitchen as I talk to Terry. Kat had an assignment to bring in a family holiday tradition to school, and this is what she chose. It's very cute, and you can check out my website for details at heatherdebro.com. So if you want to know how to put oatmeal into a bag, go to heatherdebro.com, and you'll learn it all.
That's called working on your career, people. It's called career building. Reindeer food. Shut the fuck up, lady. Okay, so the best thing to me is... now that we're doing it, it's going to be my new favorite thing, is just reading the headlines of all the blogs, okay?
Yeah.
So, Shannon Bedor, The Real Housewives of Orange County. Shannon wonders why she was singled out. Heavenly, I had too much wine. Heather, here goes the double standard. Frederick, it's about to get dark. Lisa wants everyone to own their truth.
Own your truth. Just don't own your cancer.
Ramona, I never called Kristen a bad mom. Sonia, Kristen's being immature. Heather tries to outsmart old Fox Ramona. She calls her old in her title. Kristen, Josh and I are in the trenches. I'm loving this. It's like you don't even have to read their whole thing. You get everything from the title.
Now, oh wait, here's Heather's defense of her turning up the bowl, whatever. She goes, I got the safest mechanical bowl imaginable. Bouncy house material all around it. I am safety girl. Let's be clear on something. I was joking when I told the guy to turn it up. He didn't even speak English, and it was before she got on the bowl. If I had actually turned it up and she got hurt, I would have been apologizing profusely. It all seems so much faster when you watch it. I'm very sincere when I'm asking if someone told the operator to turn it up, because I thought it happened to me as well. I didn't even remember making the joke when all this happened. I know it looks funky to hear me say, who could have done that when it looked like it was me. All I can say is, after drinking champagne all day, I just didn't remember making the joke. Obviously, I must have had a bad case of champsnesia.
Oh, God.
Thank God Tamara's arm is not broken.
Here's Quads. Quad says Mariah is category closed.
By the way, but I love this. I love Tamara. I mean, what's her face? Stupid Heather saying, like, if I had turned it up, of course I would have been apologizing. Like, that would not hold up in a court of law. You know, like, oh, of course you would have been. Oh, never mind. The whole point is that you wanted to get back at her, and you're an ice cold bitch.
God, and you know, she's really going against Tamara, thinking that Tamara's going behind her back and doing all this shit. And Tamara's actually not. Like, she's doing her best to not turn against Heather. Like, you can see her wanting to, but she's not really going full force and turning against her. But she's going to now that she sees all this shit that Heather's saying. You know, like, when she's with Terry and she's like, well, my life is full and I don't need these idiots, or whatever she's saying about that group of friends. It's not going to bode well for Heather. And I can't wait.
I'm just mad at her for using the word champnesia in her blog in all caps.
Champs.
Champsnesia. It's like the worst pun of all time.
The worst.
All right, why don't we move on to New York?
Well, here's a segue. Sonia's blog title, Sonia, I Run Deep. Oh.
Oh, God. Yeah, about as deep as a puddle.
Yeah, not so Sonja.
Uh-huh.
So this week centered around Milou, the death of Milou, which happened 18 years ago, and we still haven't gotten over on this show. I mean, Jesus Christ. That dog was 500 pounds and it had mange. It's lucky to live as long as it did. She should have stepped on that little fucker years ago.
Yeah, I mean, I get some of the things that she was saying, that it's more than a dog. It's a tie to a different time in her life. It's a tie to, like, when her marriage was good, when she was financially solvent, when she was no longer Grey Gardens. I get that, and how things have been tough, and it was like the only thing that was there for her unconditionally. So I get that, but it's also been 2 years. And
you know what else loves you unconditionally? A goldfish. Because it's stuck in a fucking little bowl, it can't get out, and it's waiting for you to get home, so you will feed it, okay? I'm a dog person. You know I loves my dogs. But come on now. They love you because they fucking have to. That's the point. It's like it's indentured servitude. Like, where's he going to go? Where's Bueller going to go, honestly? I ask him that sometimes when he gives me side eye. I'm like, well, what's your other option, Bueller? You're going to get a job and learn how to open a doorknob and carry a key? No, you're stuck here, so be nice.
Yeah, I mean, basically, Milou Milo is essentially one of Sonia's interns, except maybe perhaps a little smarter, you know? That's the only difference here. And the point is that they are in indentured servitude. And it's also, like, no offense, it's a dog. I mean, we love our pets, but...
I do. I mean, I was a mess when Xena died for, like, a month, and still will become a mess if I think about it too much. And if Bueller died, oh, my God, forget it. He's my little prince. But the whole, like, he loves me unconditionally. Yes, that's true. But I don't know. It's just so sad. It's like gathering all of your friends around to watch you sob about how much your life sucks. It's just,
Well, how about her spiritual healer who came in and, like, shined these random lights on her and banged a drum and little cymbals? It was like the... And all this person did was say, like... Do you feel a weight? And Sonia's like, yes, I feel something. And the woman's like pressing on her chest. She's like, now what? What do you feel now? It's like, it was so ridiculous.
Ramona being mean to me. Ramona using me. I'm like, what is Ramona using you for exactly, honey? Come on. She's awful, but what is she using you for? Sonia, poor thing. And then when she's fighting about the young guy that she was having sex with that Ramona broke up, and she's like, but, you know, he's saying he loves me, he loves my daughter, and you ruined it. I'm like, honey, if he loved you, he wouldn't have just stopped calling you. You would have at least gotten, like, a Facebook something. I mean.
Yeah. You would have gotten an edible arrangement.
Yeah. He's like, here's a cantaloupe shaped like a flower petal. Bye. I spent all my allowance on this. Bye, bitch.
Yeah,
so that was pretty sad. And Sonia, like, her ex-interns who knew Milu had to be there to help her. And she's like, oh, look at this one. This one we call Melba because she used to bring me tea.
I thought it was funny that she did, like, you're right, like, all these former interns came back to the nest for this, like, momentous occasion.
And she still doesn't know their names. This one is Melba because she used to bring me tea. Remember when you used to bring me tea? Oh, memories. Wow. We've had such good times together.
And meanwhile, she takes Milo's ashes and pours them out all over the sidewalk.
I love special. Harry Dubin. I love that Harry Dubin's like, really? Oh, fucking program. Come on. Okay.
Meanwhile,
yes.
I was going to say, speaking of Harry Dubin, we also had the return of... Aviva and her disgusting father George. And you know what, like, last year it was like he was such a perv, it was like sort of funny, but this year I feel like the joke is up, and now it's just annoying and really gross to me.
Well, yeah, it's not a joke, it's just how he is. It's disgusting. He's fucking disgusting. He, like, finds some young vulnerable girl whose parents are dead, and he's like, I'll take care of you, honey. She's like, okay.
Disgusting. And he gives, like, the most half-assed engagement, like, proposal of all time. It's like, so, here's a box. You want to get married?
Yeah. And she's like, wow, okay. Let's do it. Yeah, that was pretty horrifying. And George talking about the mirror on his bed. Honestly, I don't even really want to talk about George. He's gross.
I wonder what Fran Drescher thinks about him. She must hate him.
Oh, yeah. I don't know that Fran Drescher probably sees anyone very much. And you know what? Fran Drescher is pretty insufferable, too, because she started doing this thing where she thinks she's, like, a politician. You know, she's one of those people who's been on TV, so she thinks she's smart. And it's like, honey, you're on TV playing, like, the biggest bimbo of all time. You're not smart. She's like, well, here's what I think about energy conservation. It's like, no one cares. Please stop it.
I had no idea that Fran Drescher had a political agenda.
She does.
I'm like, that's just the girl from UHF.
UHF.
She was in that.
I know, but wow.
What a cast. It was her and Victoria... Victoria the crazy...
from SNL, right?
Who's also become very political in the worst way.
Oh, yeah.
Victoria Jackson.
Like, yeah, she's like crazy right-wing political.
Yeah, Victoria Jackson and Michael Richards and Weird Al Yankovic.
Yeah, that
was
a good
What more
one.
Could you ask?
And also that rock and roll movie, that docu-comedy thing. What was that? Spinal Tap. This is Spinal Tap. Oh, Fran, just be quiet. Our point is, Fran, be quiet, okay?
Wait, Fran Drescher was in Spinal Tap?
I think so.
I've only seen parts of Spinal Tap. I haven't seen all of it.
How dare you?
I know, and I've seen all the other Christopher Guest things, so it's It's bizarre.
What do you think? What's happened to Christopher Guest? I haven't seen a funny Christopher Guest in a while.
Well, he has he had a TV show of some sort.
Wasn't that thing that Ireland, Finding Your Family in Ireland or something? I think that was a big fail. I couldn't watch that one.
I don't know.
Come back to us. You're one of the brilliant minds of our generation. Come back.
So anyway, speaking of brilliant minds, so I guess nothing really happened at Aviva's dinner party. It was just basically George being a perv and everyone being disgusted by him, right?
Yeah, he's gross. Okay, now let's move on to Carol, because she was my favorite part of the episode.
Yeah.
Carol's like,
I'm not very organized, so I want an assistant. So I put it on the Twitter that I want an assistant, and I'm using Ramona's office.
And a bunch of a parade of crazies came through to interview to be Carol's assistant.
Yeah.
What say you?
Well, first of all, it takes a lot of balls to interview people at Ramona's office. That, to me, was the funniest thing. And I loved how, like, during all the entire process, Ramona kept swinging around in her chair, being like, oh, well, no. She's like, you don't have your resume? I mean, you need to have a resume. Like, you know, the only reason why I don't have a resume is because my father, he used to always go out for jobs. Okay? So when he went out for a job, he would need a resume. And it's very painful for me to have a resume, but you should have a resume.
One time, I remember when I was young, my mom wanted to get out of the house and start working in the Berkshires because she was really depressed at home. And so she typed up a resume, and my father came home and he grabbed the resume and he hit her on the head with it. And it's, you know, now when I see resumes, I get super depressed.
You know, growing up, my father, he loved French food. He would always eat nothing but French food, croissants and etouffees, everything that was French he would eat. So now, to this day, anything that's French, I can't deal with, okay? So one of those things is a resume, because that's a French word. So I can't have a resume. It's too French.
I was wondering where you were going.
I'm sorry. I can't have a resume. I'm sorry.
You know, even when you press stop on the VCR and you're waiting to start Big Business all over again, and it's just up there and it says resume, I keep thinking of resume and I start crying.
My least favorite month of the year is May, because it rhymes with resume. And often, during May, I always think that this is actually a month when my father comes back from the dead and tries to hand me his resume, because I'm a very successful woman, okay? Because my mother always said, you always have to have your own business, okay? But I will not take my father's resume, because he was very abusive to me.
Oh, my God. Oh, Ramona. First of all, Ramona don't have an office. What does Ramona need an office for?
Well, she has to sell her skincare. Well, I have my skincare, and I have my jewelry, and I also sell fitness regimens now, and I sell my wine and my other spirits, my rosé. It's very important. I have to sell these things, and I need an office. That's what you do.
Oh, gosh. She doesn't do anything. Doesn't she have other people doing that for her?
She has Avery, maybe. It's good to cry.
So she was interviewing people, and Carol's questions, of course, were like,
have you ever read my book? Do you know who the Kennedys are? On what date do you first fuck a guy?
Did you come during this interview?
Do you take your dentures out to give a blowjob?
Do you use a dental dam on your cereal spoon?
I don't know why she would do that, but
it's a question, that's all. I don't.
Sanchez's? I don't even think she ever hired anybody, but that was the most fun part for me to watch. I don't know why. Just because, A, Carol needs an assistant, she doesn't really do anything.
Yeah. Well, but hopefully she hired the one girl who actually read her book.
You know she didn't. You mean the girl from ABC?
Yeah.
No, I don't think she actually read it. She should have given her a test.
Okay, so here's a test on my book. If you've read it, you'll know the answers. How many times have I stuck my own toe in my vagina?
How many times have I stuck JFK Jr.'s toe in my vagina?
What was Robert's nickname for me? How much fuel goes in it? In a small privately owned airplane from the 60s.
When you think of rancid trout, what does it make you think of?
Rancid trout? Oh, Carol. What else happened in this Real Housewives of New York? I didn't write
anything. Well, so the other thing that happened was that, so Kristen was hired to do this exercise video. And so then her husband, Josh, who, as she pointed out, you know, had no time to come home to attend to their son's therapy, but then all of a sudden was like lingering around her video shoot, and like in between takes he was like, oh, I hope this helps her get rid of her pooch, or how long till she gets rid of her pooch, or things like that, like, oh, well, she'll be exhausted soon if the Spartan race is any indication. Like, he's just being like a total asshole.
They're like, make an effort. He's like, don't have her make an effort, she'll just quit. Ooh, ouch.
He's such a dick. Like,
he was like Al Bundying her the whole time, poor thing.
And he sits there with his stupid smile on his face. Ugh.
Yeah.
I know kids like – I feel like I grew up with kids like that. Kids like that from a Hebrew school. I'm not saying this from an anti-Semitic place, but there is like a certain brand of Jewish kid that I know and who are so insecure that they just are very nasty. It doesn't have to be that they're Jewish, really, but I see in Josh, I've seen a lot of kids I remember from my Hebrew school.
He's fucking
You could be
awful.
Christian and awful too. Don't worry. Don't worry.
With those half-closed eyes. Ugh, he's so arrogant. But he's saying, I feel like I get to oversee you because he got her the job. And that's the thing with people like Heather. It's like she's with somebody who's blatantly abusive to her.
Kristen.
Yeah, whatever. She looks like a Heather, doesn't she? With the kind blonde of. Hair, blondie. But I'm turning into Vicky. What's your name? I can't remember. It's too hard. But, you know, I mean, I just go on the same rant every week with her. But basically, she, you know, she marries an old grouch who's rich, and she's still letting him get her jobs. It's like, that's not the way to not be controlled.
Well, no, but listen, it's okay to, like, use your connections to get a job for your wife or your spouse or whatever. But he doesn't have to be there for it. Like, he should be at work. Well, you know, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, if she needs to escape her husband, she needs to, like, go out and start getting jobs for herself and not being relying on that pig. That guy's disgusting. She shouldn't even be with that guy. And I have a feeling she signed a prenup, because otherwise, who would still be with him?
Yeah, I agree. I think he's actually a vile human being.
Yeah, he really is. So what else happened in this? Because I don't think I have any. I hate ending it on like a sad note. It's like,
well,
a piece
Ramona,
of relationships. Bye, everybody. See you
well,
next
Ramona
week.
And Sonia buried the hatchet. Let's see. Did Heather do anything?
No.
I don't think Heather did anything.
Heather just
she was just
this.
Being like, motherfucker
Pookie.
This, motherfucker that.
Hi, Pookie. What's up, my little Pookiness? Oh, you're so sweet. You're so pretty.
Ramona, I mean, she loves talking about the singer Stinger. I'm like, I have not actually accepted that as a Ramona-ism. You know,
yeah,
cause,
that's another Stamps.
Yeah, because it's like, exactly, because it's when Kristen was retelling what happened with Ramona when they met last week, and how Ramona couldn't believe that someone would call her a monster, and then Heather's like, well, she has many names, like Singer Stinger, copyright 2014 by Heather Thompson.
We get it. Oh, and also, well, my favorite of those was Luann's Ramona Pinot Polar.
Pinot Polar, yeah. Ramona, I mean, Luann loves this, because, you know, Luann despises Ramona, and she just loves watching all the girls go after her.
Yeah, she doesn't even have to do anything. I miss Luann. I want her to be on the show full time.
No, they better bring her back next season as a full time cast member.
I want to know what's happening with Jacques. Oh, and
I think
her children.
Jacques be friendly. Jacques be whatever, but Jacques is no more.
Wow.
I'm sorry. I tried to do a nursery rhyme and I kind of just lost steam midway through.
Well, you know what? You know who else tried to rhyme and lost steam? Maya Angelou, which brings us full circle.
she truly lost her steam
from the beginning of our podcast. So, everybody, thanks so much for listening. You can find this show every week on Stitcher, wherever else. You can find us online and come talk to us about all the shows the nights that they air, and come talk about stuff you want to talk about on the podcast at facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens. You can also tweet us at whatcrappens on the old Twitter. And you can find Ben and all the social media outlets at B-Side Blog. And you can find me, Ronnie Karam, on Vine at Ronnie Karam, on Twitter at Ronnie Karam, or Trash Tweet TV, or Instagram at Trash Talk TV, or Tumblr at Trash Talk TV Recaps. Thank you guys so much for being here. We will see you next time.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone. Bye, bye. Everyone. Bye.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.